Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with State Senator Julia Ratty. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Susan Fisher, Mac Bibee, and Pat Hickey. It's all coming up next on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program State Senator Julia Ratty of District 13. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
In the wake of the incident in Las Vegas, the horrible shooting, you've co-signed on legislation on bump stock alterations to weapons. Can you tell us a little bit about this bill?
Of course, Sam, I'd be happy to. I think before we jump into the details of any one bill, I just want to make sure that everybody knows that people in Northern Nevada have really come together to support their Southern Nevada family. And I've been just so impressed with the outpouring of love. And I'm hearing regularly from my Southern Nevada colleagues that they see it too. You know, there have been wonderful vigils at the university or the vigil downtown. There have been all kinds of different expressions of support. And so I just want everybody in Northern Nevada or anywhere that you're listening to know that Southern Nevada is getting the message that they are loved and that we are with them. Specific to the legislation, you know, certainly I know many people will say that it's too early, people are still grieving, that we shouldn't be talking about policy. But what I am finding is that there are equal numbers of individuals who are traumatized because they just see our legislators continue to not take action. And so, you know, it's a fine line as a legislator, but at the end of the day, I was elected to make policy. And it does seem out of this particular incident that there was some new information. Many of us were not familiar with the concept of bump stocks. And when I looked at all the different possibilities of what could we bring forward, this seemed like the most common sense, the most practical, the thing that makes a pretty easy argument. We have bans on high power rifles, and having a piece of equipment that can turn a rifle that isn't illegal into something that would otherwise be illegal seems pretty straightforward. We know that there are national efforts to do the same thing, and so it's my sincere hope that this gets solved at the national level, but we wanted to make sure that our national leaders as well as the community knew that if Congress didn't take action, that as Nevadans we were prepared to.
You know, okay, let's say Congress does take action and outlaws bump stocks. The National Rifle Association has already come out in favor of that. Would you then not have any gun legislation, or would you look for another avenue for gun legislation, perhaps silencers or something like that?
So to be absolutely clear, by requesting this single bill draft does not mean that there won't be a broader conversation about reasonable gun management in the state of Nevada. We're not saying that there won't be other laws. This was the one that seemed the most simple, the most straightforward, the one that we should have acted on first. I think you know that in the last legislative session, I had a bill that was a high-risk protection order. I'm still considering bringing that bill back in the next legislative session. we made it through one house. There were questions when we got to the second house. And so I want to make sure that in that particular bill that we're having good conversations with law enforcement and judiciary prior to the next legislative session. And if we can build a version that really makes sense for people, I will probably be personally bringing that back. There's broad-based support in the American public for many different kinds of common sense gun legislation. And so I'm absolutely certain that there will be a broader conversation than just bump stocks. If the federal government asks on bump stocks, then we probably won't need to here.
Do you think this is going to put pressure on the attorney general in terms of background checks?
I think there was already pressure on the attorney general in terms of background checks. 80% of Americans support the concept of background checks at gun shows, these areas where it's a clear loophole. It passed in the state of Nevada. Yes, it was a narrow majority, but it was still a majority. So I personally believe there was already pressure on him. But yes, I do think this amps up that pressure.
You know, speaking of that, of course, this background check issue was approved by voters in the last election, but GOP Attorney General Adam Laxalt, who we've been talking about, is considered to be the top Republican to run for governor next year. He said the law could not be enforced because the FBI refused to run background checks on private party sales and transfers as the new law requires. So if he doesn't do anything, what can you do at the state legislature on background checks?
So certainly we can look at it again and see if there's a version that would pass muster in Adam Laxalt's view of the law. But I have a feeling that anything that we do in terms of the legislature, if you're counting on Adam Laxalt as the attorney general to enforce it, he's going to look for a way to not enforce it. So I know that the governor has asked his legal counsel to take a look. That may not be a completely accurate description, but I know the governor is looking at the background check issue right now. I think the voters are going to have a say. The voters will clearly know where Adam Laxalt stood on this issue. And so certainly we have an election prior to the next legislature being in session. So the voters will have the most influence on whether or not they think that Mr. Laxalt is doing the right thing by not enforcing background checks. But it's time. It's relatively well supported.
All right, let's take a break. More with State Senator Julia Ratty when we come back.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada, and we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Julia Ratty. You brought up the governor's race, and it looks very strongly as though it's going to be on the Democratic side, Steve Sisolak versus Chris Giuncagliani. What are your thoughts about what would likely be a very divisive primary?
So if we've learned anything from the last political cycle, it's that when some of us get in a back room and decide who we think the next candidate should be, the voters don't take very kindly to that. And it's certainly not something that I've been involved in. I'm not afraid of primaries. I think that primaries are a good thing. We live in a democracy. We should not be in a position where our candidates are handpicked by a small group of insiders. So let the process play out. I think that both candidates will have an opportunity to tell the voters what their strengths are. They'll have an opportunity for, you know, Democrats to take a good look at them. And on the Republican side, the same thing will happen. And, you know, we'll find out who the voters believe is the best candidate that they want to put forward. So I don't think that primaries are a bad thing.
Are you going to be behind either of these two candidates?
If Chris June Kiliani gets in the race, I'm a strong supporter. I think that she did an amazing job as a legislator. I think that she has an agenda that I can support. And so I'll be first in line to say I endorse Chris June Kiliani.
Well, she has unofficially said she's in the race. So you're in good stead there.
Julie, I want to get back to this conversation about guns and changes in gun laws. Okay, what a scenario that if Adam Laxalt is elected governor, it would seem like the Democrats would need 2/3 majorities in both houses to be able to overcome a veto on gun legislation by Adam Laxalt. Do you have the strategy to try to get 2/3 in each house going now?
So let me say this. I think that regular people, the people who live in Nevada, the people who have been affected by this strategy, are tired of the political conversation. They're tired of that. And honestly, I don't know what's in Mr. Laxalt's heart. I don't know what's in the hearts of some of my Republican colleagues or, frankly, my Democratic colleagues down at the legislature. What I do know is many Nevadans have been impacted by this tragedy deeply. And so we may see that it is not as partisan of an issue as it has been in the past. Maybe I'm being idealistic, maybe I'm being Pollyanna, but I don't want to assume just because somebody has checked a certain box on a political party that what happened in Las Vegas doesn't touch them in a way that they might reconsider positions that they've held in the past. So before we go running down to make it, talking about needing a 2/3 vote or being going along party lines, why don't we give people some time to reflect and some time to look at common sense policies and see if there's something that we can all rally behind?
Well, I just base my question on the modern history of Nevada politics and the history of the Nevada legislature.
The modern history hasn't included a gunman raining down bullets on 22,000 people in a field in Las Vegas,
right,
where nothing could have made a difference. So I think that people need some time to reflect.
Well, you're correct on that, but modern history does have a gunman shooting up an IHOP and murdering mm-hmm. people just a few blocks from the Nevada legislature. And nothing happened in terms of gun legislation in the legislature after that.
And I can't argue that, but what I will say is that I don't think people should be in these positions without some sense of possibility, some sense of hope. If you've gotten to the points where you've just written off all possibility, you should probably resign your seat and let somebody else take a shot. So I'm going to sit in the seat of Hope Springs Eternal, and that people will have time to reflect, and that we're going to find a place where we can set partisanship aside and address the gun epidemic that is facing our state and our nation. It's a public health policy issue. We have a gun violence epidemic, and I believe that reasonable people can come together and find a solution.
Let me hit another topic here. Washoe County Commissioner Marsha Birkbeiler has been on the program several times talking about the battles that are ongoing now between Washoe County and the city of Reno in terms of land. And, you know, as a former member of the Spark City Council, what's your take on this?
You mean as a former member of the Spark City Council, I didn't get to graduate and not have to talk about these anymore?
We want your hindsight perspective.
Yeah, fair enough. So I'm not as close to these issues anymore. So
they haven't changed.
And I haven't heard what Marsha's had to say. So let me put that out there. You know,
you've got to renew your podcast in Nevada Newsmakers.
I clearly need to find more time. I need to find more than 24 hours in the day. So what I found certainly as a Spark City Council member is that, you know, there were flare-ups and then people calmed down and we had conversations and we moved good policy. And then there were flare-ups and then people calmed down and we had good conversations and we moved good policy. So again, you know, maybe I'm just the rose-colored glasses person today, but I do believe that reasonable people will get in a room and they'll figure things out. That is the pattern that is the history of our region. There are a lot of great things going on in Washoe County. And at the end of the day, our elected officials want to see that continue. Now, I will say we have some challenges with our fiscal situation. And what we have now is a healthy economy, a healthy economic outlook that is masking fiscal dysfunction. And that fiscal dysfunction comes from a property tax structure that is broken. And so a lot of times when you see these arguments between the county and the two cities, it's an issue of scarcity of resources that puts them in a position where they don't have a lot of good options. And so at some point, we as a state are going to have to take a step back and review our property tax system because it's dysfunctional and it is not serving our local governments and our schools well.
And that's where we have to leave it. Julia Ratti, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Susan Fisher is here. She's with Government Affairs at McDonald Carano Wilson. Mac Bybee is President and CEO of the Associated Builders and Contractors. And Pat Hickey is Executive Director of the Charter School Association of Nevada and a former Assemblyman. We just had State Senator Julia Ratti talking on the program, and we were talking to her about bump stocks and perhaps other legislation that may come up in the next legislative session due to this horrible incident in Las Vegas. And I wanted to go around and start with you, Mac, on what your thoughts are about whether this horrible, horrible incident is enough to get legislators to change their minds.
Well, I think before this incident, nobody ever heard of what a bump stock was. I was aware that there were some rifles that could be modified to be go from a semi-automatic to fully automatic. And I was aware that that existed. I didn't know what it was called, but I knew it was out there. So I think this is an educational piece for a lot of individuals that would be pro Second Amendment, but maybe not necessarily aware that something like this could occur. And even you even hear the NRA saying that we need to take another look at these regulations. We need to take another look at this particular modification that's available, these kits. And I think that that is, it is a necessary thing that needs to be evaluated and looked at.
And, you know, Susan, these sales of these bump stocks have gone through the roof because people realize that they're going to go away and the prices, you know, increase by a multiple of 10.
Well, good, if that prevents more people from getting them. What I understand is that there's also you can get instructions on how to make your own at home pretty easily, and it's not a very difficult process to make them. So even if they are banned, you can still make it at home, and what a sad statement. Who needs that? What sort of private citizen would ever need a weapon like that?
Well, you know, I agree with both of the others. I'm a gun owner, pro Second Amendment guy. At the same time, I don't think that anyone needs, you know, the equivalent of a machine gun to represent their Second Amendment rights. So I think the bigger question here, though, is public safety and the issues that it's raised in Nevada, especially for our number one industry, the gaming industry. I think Steve Wynn certainly has touched upon some areas in terms of security that are probably going to create a whole new discussion and probably some changes.
Well, Mac, let me get back to you to start this question. Is what do you think this is going to do to the, I guess, stalled ballot measure that Nevadans passed about background checks for gun sales that according to our Attorney General Adam Laxalt, is unenforceable in its present state.
Well, you got to take a look at what the background checks are. There's actually two. There's one with the federal database, and there's one with the state database. And what you'll find is this, is there what's in the state database generally is a bit more comprehensive, because your federal database isn't going to have things like domestic abuse, you know, armed robbery in a local location, things of that nature that may not go through. Now, what the attorney general was saying is, you're saying that we need to force the FBI to do a background check, and they don't have the authority to do so. So it's not much different than when you say, I go down to Shields, want to buy a rifle. You still do those background checks, and primarily the one that's more important is the one that the state does.
So do you see extending this background law in Nevada through the legislature? Do you think that could pass if bump stocks is taken care of by federal legislation before the 2019 session opens?
I don't know if the two are necessarily related. I mean, are they requiring background checks to get a bump stock? I've never seen one at Cabela's or Shields or Sports World or wherever else you want to go and look for a firearm. Maybe they're out there. I don't know. But to my knowledge, I don't know if you even need a background check to buy a bump stock.
Well, I think the bump stock thing is going to get dealt with Congress, because this seems to be an easy way to go. Susan, what are your thoughts about, you know, is there going to be a change of mind in Nevada over background checks?
Well, I think there will be. I think they are going to go back and relook at it. See, did we go far enough? We need to go farther. I want to touch back on what you mentioned also with Steve Wynn. You know, the man has great vision, and clearly he had great vision in saying, all right, we need to do something to protect our employees and our guests here. And all of the properties do that. This is not to say that there's anything that MGM or Mandalay or anybody else has done wrong. It's just they've always got to be looking at how can you prevent this sort of thing. And you can't prevent everything. And I hope we don't consider legislation that will put mandates on these private businesses to do this sort of thing, because I think they will do this on their own. They'll do more and more and more like what the WIN is doing. But as far as gun controls, yeah, we're absolutely going to be looking at this again. And I, as was mentioned earlier here, our Second Amendment rights did not consider this sort of weapon, nor should they protect this sort of weaponry.
Pat?
Well, I think the issue on public safety is, you know, front and center for Nevadans and maybe the next legislature, although it will be the industry itself, as Steve Wynn had indicated, they have already taken certain mm-hmm. serious steps. And even raising the question, you know, in the industry with whales and high rollers, do they get a certain amount of attention so that a do not disturb sign for 3 days doesn't seem to raise a red flag? Apparently, in Mr. Wynn's view, it would. And I think the industry has to look at reinvesting post-recession more money into security. I understand from insiders that it's kind of threadbare, you know, as of late, and maybe better training for hospitality staff. I mean, they are the folks that are in the hallways and seeing things that might be considered odd, and even dogs that at times can detect certain things like gunpowder. A lot of possibilities. Freedom's an issue, though.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much indeed. This will be an ongoing conversation, I am sure, and we'll be right back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, ProGroup moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done and look to your future success. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
We'll see you on the next Nevada Newsmakers. Thanks for watching and listening.